Good morning. I would like to dedicate this to my mother and to the memory of my father. Throughout the message, I will refer to several scriptures, and I hope you will look them up afterwards. But I'd like to speak from the title, What Have You Done for Him Lately? Since the days of the Garden of Eden, mankind has messed up. But when God decides to punish you by hardening your heart so that you are unable to make good choices, you've messed up big time. Such was the case with Pharaoh, as he had the Israelites in captivity and slavery. Beginning in the 7th chapter of Exodus, you will find the 10 plagues that befell Egypt. After a few of the plagues, even Pharaoh's servants tried to convince him to let the Israelites go, but without success. Note that all of the Egyptians, suffered because of Pharaoh's actions, and speculation has it that even today, citizens suffer because of choices made by their leaders. After the 10th plague, when God took the lives of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh was able to let the Israelites go. Not long afterwards, though, reality set in. 600,000 men, as well as women and children, left Egypt, which greatly reduced the workforce. And to put that into perspective, 600,000 is roughly one half the population of Cuyahoga County. Pharaoh decided to pursue the Israelites, and the Bible says that he took 600 of his best chariots and all of the chariots of Egypt. When the Israelites saw Pharaoh pursuing him, those Israelites, the ones that were led through the wilderness by a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night, those Israelites, the ones that received silver and gold and clothing from the Egyptians when they left Egypt, those Israelites who were finally free from slavery after all of these years, those Israelites, the ones who witnessed the hand of God through the plagues of water turning to blood, so the fish died and the land stank. Frogs throughout the land of Egypt, in the bedchamber and in the bed. Lice, flies, swarm of flies. And I will tell you, one fly buzzing in the room, one of us has to leave. They were all over Egypt. Murrain, which is an infectious disease that killed the cattle of the Egyptians. Boils, hail, locusts so thick that you could not see the ground. Darkness so thick that it could be felt. And as was mentioned earlier, the death of the firstborn. Those Israelites had a nerve to complain. Once again, though, God provided by parting the Red Sea, and the Israelites crossed over on dry land. A cloud kept the Egyptians and Israelites separated, and when the Egyptians pursued, they realized too late that they never should have pursued the Israelites, but the sea closed on them, and they were all drowned. Because of the Israelites' evil doing and lack of faith, they were doomed to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't know if God hardens hearts today the way he did with Pharaoh, but when we look at the events of 9/11, the thinking of those who helped elect poor government leaders, and rumors about when leaders had knowledge of COVID-19 pandemic, as opposed to when the public was made aware, truly makes one wonder. But we see that the Israelites had not done anything for God lately. Today, we trust strangers on a daily basis. When we drive, we hope that that driver coming toward us will stay on his side of the yellow line. When we go to the store, we hope that the amount that is scanned is the actual cost of the item we're purchasing. When we go to the drive-thru, we hope that our order is accurate. We need to trust God, but there are some who don't trust God at all. But for Christians, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So since God made that sacrifice, he has expectations of us, and those expectations are reasonable. Imagine that. I'd like to cite a few of those. 1, we are to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. 2, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Scripture reference there is Matthew 22:37-39. For those who are unsure what qualifies as a neighbor, I refer you to the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is found in Luke 10th chapter, 29th to 37th verse. 3, if we lack wisdom, ask God. Who hasn't made a bad choice sometime in life? You can read about this, James 1st chapter, 5th verse. 4, our tongue. The Bible says that we bless and curse from the same mouth. But Ephesians 4:29 tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. 5, tithes and offerings, a sore subject for many. God gives us 100% of what we have had, what we currently have, and what we will have. And he's asking for 10% of our earnings. Personally, I don't think that's a lot to ask. Bear in mind, God does not need the money. But just as a household needs money in order to operate, a church does. And many of the costs are the same. Mortgage, utilities, cleaning, upkeep, whether it's of the structure or interior. Please don't think that whenever a minister mentions tithes and offerings, that it is an opportunity for that minister to live a lap of luxury. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 9th chapter 6th through 8th verse. Worship together. Wow, we ought to go to church. That might be our Sunday gathering. It could be Bible study. It could be conferences. There are some that have the attitude that they're doing God a favor when they show up, like God should be happy I just showed up. That isn't true. We should be grateful that we have the privilege to worship together here in the United States, because that is not true worldwide. You can read about that in Hebrews 10:25. 7, study his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't study, how do you know what's being told to you is true? You don't want to go to God on judgment day and say, I didn't know. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that if we attempt to meet these expectations, that we won't suffer. But when you are struggling, you want to have a pity party. You want to get angry with God and ask, why me? Let's go back to our topic. What have you done for him lately?